Hello. Well, I've got some coffee nearby, so I'm ready to do the recording. Hope you've been well. Been a bit of an odd week here. Sort of going back to basics, you know, going full circle, that kind of thing. I've been looking for some news sources for photography information, photography news, finding new photographers and their work to look at, basically what's going on in the photography world. And I suddenly realised RSS feeds, and this is going back to how I used to gather information before social media, before my Twitter days. Twitter basically replaced my RSS feeds in a lot of cases. I fortunately managed to find an old exported OPML file which listed all of my, it was basically a save of all of the RSS feeds that I used to follow, which was fantastic. And I thought, well, I will use that as a template to start again. And I put it into Feeder about a week ago. And roughly about 75% of them are either no longer active or they've just gone. The feed has just disappeared. So I've managed to whittle the amount of sites down to probably actually quite a good starting number. It's I would say probably around about 25 or 30. I can follow a total with my Feeder account of 200, which I think is going to be too much. So I'm going to try and keep it well below 100. See what I can find over the next few weeks and see what happens. I used to use RSS feeds as a way of finding out information, but it's also a great way of bouncing ideas off of one post that you've seen somewhere else and then talking about it on the blog. So I found it really good for creating blog posts. It's great having all of these blogs, but you've got to have something to talk about, and you can't really do that in isolation. So that's really what setting up the RSS feed is about. It's early stages for this RSS feed, for all of these feeds, but it's been great to see a few familiar names crop up again. I mean, one that I was quite pleased to see was the online photographer who has been around. I mean, I was following him 14 years ago, longer than that, probably 15 years. Who else was there? There was Steve McCurry's blog that's been going a long time. Who else? Reading the Pictures, that's rather a good one. Photojournalism Now, which comes up, I mean, for photography equipment, there's Petapixel, F-Stoppers, that's a good one. One or two things have changed, of course, since my good old RSS days. There are still some sites like InFocus, which is all to do with The Atlantic. It's their photography blog, basically. And Access is... I can understand why they've done it. But there's a lot of sort of like paywalls and things getting in the way. And I mean, I'm actually looking at one now. Let's see what happens if you... So if you actually go via the RSS feed, you can actually see the images. So that's not too bad. So yeah, maybe that works now. There is a bit of a sign-in thing down at the bottom, which stays there, but you get to see the images. So that's not too bad. There was another one, which the Boston Globe had, which I don't think is on there. But I'm just going to have to go through and check some of the old sites that I used to visit on a regular basis and just see how they're going. The Leica Camera blog... is a new one that I've started following. Has some interest in photography and talks to photographers. I mean, it's a bit of an equipment selling, you know, look at my Leica shots kind of thing. But it's a good sort of like basis. I think that the feeds that I've got so far, it's a good start to it gives me something that I can grow. I think that's what I need to do, and get a good assortment of RSS feeds like I did back in the day, and then we'll just take it from there. But it does feel great to be able to click somewhere and just have a look through these sites and see what's going on, and just have a bit of a catch up with the photography world. So we'll continue to develop that and see how it goes. Well, I suppose it's time for a bit of housekeeping. The website has had one or two sort of like corrections done on it, and a lot of it is to do with changes that came last year and just the odd link that appeared right in front of me. It's almost like they used to be, I don't know whether they still do them, but there used to be these competitions in newspapers called Spot the Ball. And you would be able to win a cash prize if you basically put an X on where the ball was in the picture. They basically removed it, but you had to put it smack on in the middle of the ball to win the prize. And it's kind of been a bit like that with some of the links, because some sites have been with me. Twitter, for instance, has been with me for such a long time. Occasionally there was just the odd link that came up, and that needed tidying up. And I managed to find two that somehow I'd missed back at the end of last year. It just goes to show how some of them can be tucked away in plain sight, but you just don't see them. So I had to get rid of those. But I think probably the biggest thing, biggest change, has been with the galleries, where I've been making one or two alterations there to make a bit more room, move some of the old stuff out. It's still there and can still be found on the site, but it isn't visible from the menu anymore. And I think this is probably the best way to go. So my work can still be found. You know, if you're interested in my portraiture, then you can use the search engine on the site to find it, but it isn't linked in the menu. And the reason for that was I added a new gallery recently, Northumberland, Castles and Coast. I just realised that I needed to get that out. There's two galleries that I actually need to sort out. The first one I've actually already done, which is a Northumberland one, but the second one is a Scotland one, and I think that's going to be a little bit more tricky because there's an awful lot of work from Scotland, and I need to find some way of organising it on the website in the best way. I think it needs dividing up. How I'm going to do that, I don't know. I've got one or two ideas, but we'll have to see how that goes. But anyway, the Northumberland work came together really quite nicely last year. I was really, really pleased. The gallery is already up, and it's got the images that I took last year. It's going to have some more images added over the next few weeks and months from previous trips going way back to 1992. There won't be too many pictures put in from those previous visits. You know, there'll be no more than probably three or four, but it just gives you a basis of the various, it gives you an idea and gives you some of the pictures that I take, that I took going back, you know, over 30 years now from Northumberland. It's a county that I absolutely adore. It's got that rugged sort of wild feel to it. It's got a fantastic history. Scotland's next door, which has influenced it a lot over the years, both culturally and historically. Castles, coast, it's got everything. And I just really love the place, and I just want to do it justice in the gallery. So there's going to be more material added there, more images. I'm also going to add some more text as well and just fill that out. But for the moment, I'm rather pleased with that. So I will link that in the links area, in the podcast links area, so you can click through and have a look at the images there. like I say, I need to get on with Scotland and try and sort that out. It's just such a big amount of work, which is not surprising. First set of images that were shot there were 2012, and there's just images upon images upon images as with each visit, and you just can't help coming away with cameras full of fantastic landscapes, documentary shots. It's just a fantastic place, but it all adds up, and it just needs some organisation. Right, so the podcast links are going to be divided into two. It's sort of like going to be a bit of a mini series. This, so I came across a rather interesting email from the Photographers Gallery regarding Bert Hardy. Now, Bert Hardy sadly isn't as well known as he should be. I always regard him as a photographer's photographer. He took some amazing work with his time with the Picture Post, especially after World War II, but he was also a combat photographer during World War II with the Army Photographic Section. And took amazing images. And quite honestly, it's fantastic to see that the Photographers Gallery are doing a retrospective show of his work down in London. The show started on the 23rd of February 2024 and runs until the 2nd of June 2024. So there's quite a bit of time to go and see it, and I would highly recommend it. There is a fee to go into the Photographers Gallery, but if you go on a Friday around about 5 o'clock, you will get in for free. So the cost isn't particularly that much. I think it's £8 on the door, but if you book online, it's £6.50. So it's a good cause. It's a great gallery and some great photography, and you get plenty of access. But if you really think that, you know, photography should be free to view, then go on a Friday at 5 o'clock and you will get in there for nothing. There's a great website which I'll add to the links: Bert Hardy Photojournalism, War and Peace. I mean, quite honestly, Bert Hardy was an amazing photographer. It's amazing he wasn't snapped up by Magnum. And he sort of like had a career that was, I suppose you could say, it was restrained almost. He ended up in the Army Photographic Section and had to follow orders, which you would understand from the Army. But unfortunately, the British Army didn't really understand. They got these photographers into the Army and then didn't really know what to do with them. Even to the point of Bert Hardy saying about how he was given this, you know, these old cameras, and even though he'd got experience as a freelance photographer and was carrying Leicas, was basically told how to take pictures. So the British Army, unlike the United States Army, unlike the Russian and the German armies, didn't really understand the value of recording what the army was doing during the war. So It's a bit of a British thing about we don't talk about it. We don't, you know, there's always an element of need to know with British society. It's getting better, but there's always been this element of, you know, we just don't talk about it. Secrecy, that kind of thing. So Bert ended up working after the war for the Picture Post and took some absolutely amazing photos. There's a link called The Gorbals of the 1940s, which was set in Glasgow in one of the slum areas, tenement housing, where 40,000 people lived. And Bert Hardy went up there to just capture life in the area, and his images are just a fantastic record of these Victorian dwellings that weren't really upgraded. A lot of them were knocked down after the war, and there was a massive rebuilding of housing during the 1950s and 1960s in the UK. I mean, it even ran into the 1970s. Unfortunately, a lot of these tenements were sort of like replaced with, you know, blocks of flats and things like that. So it wasn't always a good thing. There was still a sense of community in these places, but life was pretty hard. But the images taken by Bert Hardy, absolutely amazing. So it's just worth going along to take a look at the exhibition just for images like that. And he worked all over the UK as well. Like I say, to be honest, how he didn't become a member of Magnum, I don't know. I don't even know whether he was asked. Maybe he was asked and he turned it down. Unfortunately, the Picture Post, who he worked for, a very successful magazine during the 1940s, a very successful magazine sort of in the start of the 1950s, but then with the arrival of television and then to a certain extent the start of celebrity culture and people wanting to find out what their film stars were up to, the Picture Post started having circulation problems. Basically, the circulation started going down. There was less and less people buying the magazine, and eventually it reached a point where it was just no longer economically viable to run. So they, the Picture Post, I think it was about 1957-58, it finished. A real tragedy, because it actually used to go in and photograph a lot of ordinary life, something that we don't really do very much these days. But it was a fantastic example of photojournalism covering the everyday and seeing how people lived. But eventually it was just seen that people were after other things. And it was, like I say, the start of the celebrity culture thing. So that is the podcast link, or podcast links, for this podcast. So check out Bert Hardy online if you can't get to the Photographer's Gallery exhibition. But if you can get to Bert Hardy Photojournalism in War and Peace down at the Photographer's Gallery, I really would recommend that you go down and have a look. I think Bert Hardy is one of those hidden gems of documentary photography. He's, like I said before, he's a bit of a photographer's photographer, but he's definitely up there with the greats when it comes to documentary photographer work. Just a remarkable man. Unfortunately, by the early 60s, 1964, he'd actually left the industry and become a farmer. So that shows how photojournalism had, sort of like dropped as a way of working. But there was just no longer any interest in it, really, or certainly limited scope for it, which you could argue continues to this day. So just the fact that such a great photographer ended up as a farmer is, you know, quite a remarkable turn in his life. That's it. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. I shall be back with some more later. There will be another bonus podcast links coming out towards the end of the month, and that's going to concentrate on some other World War II photographers. So this is sort of like the first part with Bert Hardy, but we'll also be looking at some more obscure names, some German photographers, some Russian photographers, and just taking a look at their work and finding what we can find link-wise. I'm sure that there's plenty of great images out there online from these World War II photographers that probably a lot of people haven't heard of. So I will see you then.